Krishna 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 Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Sharashati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Nadishata Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. It's always so warm and heart-warming, a wonderful feeling to come to Durban, because we like to go to places where there are devotees responding to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Srila Prabhupada's mission so sincerely. Because by being there, we feel enlightened. This is the meaning of sadhu sangha. Sadhu satam prasangan mamo bija sambhita. Satam means sadhu. Sadhu means saintly people. Saintly people means devotees of the Lord, Krishna Bhakta. So, in the association, Satang Prasangan, in the association of the sadhus, Krishna consciousness becomes very wonderfully manifest. Mama Birja Sampita. And those words, those discussions about Krishna becomes Bhavanti Ritkarna Rashayana Katha. Gives intense pleasure to the ears and the heart. Krishna consciousness, the words about Krishna enters through the ears into the region of the heart, and produces, generates great joy. Rasayana katha bhavanti vidkarna rasayana katha. And as a result of that, tajyoshanadasu apobarga vartmane, materialistic life comes to an end very quickly. Ashu tajyoshana rashu apavarga vartmani. Apavarga means cessation of materialistic existence. Pavarga means materialistic way of life, and apavarga means cessation of negation of that. Materialistic life comes to an end. And as a result of that, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. As a result of that, spontaneous attraction for Krishna generates. A faith in Krishna, the faith in the spiritual process, the faith as in our spiritual identity as a servant of Krishna becomes manifest. Anukramishyati. And then gradually, Shraddha leads to Rati. Rati means attraction for spiritual life. Attraction towards the lotus feet of Krishna develops, which leads to prema bhakti, loving devotional service. They gradually develop, anukramishati. Consequently, successively develop. So that is spiritual life. Spiritual life is a matter of sadhu sangha. Who are the sadhus? Sadhus are the saintly people. Sadhus are the devotees of the Lord. Sadhus are the people, those who are not interested in materialistic way of life, but they are attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. A living entity is Krishna's marginal potency, tatastha shakti. Tatastha means in between two. It's like a line. Like there is in the graph, we see the negative side on the left hand side and positive on the right hand side. And we have in between, there's the axis, zero. It's neither positive nor negative. That is called margin. So living entity is a marginal potency of the Lord. Marginal potency. Meaning, a living entity can either be on the material side or a living entity can be on the spiritual side. It's up to him. He has the freedom. He has the independence to decide for himself which side he will choose. Living entity is a conscious being, but his consciousness is very minute, like a ray of light. Unto how many points a ray of light can be projected? Only one. So similarly, the living entity's consciousness can be projected either towards the material side or can be projected towards the spiritual side. Krishna's internal potency or external potency. External potency means the energy that is separated from Krishna. And internal potency is that is with Krishna. In simple consideration, this material and spiritual is simply a consideration of whether we are going to lead or whether we are going to put ourselves in the center or whether we are going to put Krishna in the center. When you put ourselves in the center, that is material. When you put Krishna in the center, that is spiritual. That is the distance between material and spiritual world. You lead your life putting yourself in the center, you are in the material world. But if you put Krishna in the center and lead your life in that way, then you are in the spiritual. So that's about the only thing that a living entity can decide for himself. In the material nature, living entities are generally leading a life with themselves in the center. Everything is for me and mine. That the life that is simply based on these two considerations, me and mine, is material. And when it is for the sake of Krishna, not for me. Idam Krishnaya na mama. This is for Krishna, not mine. This is for Krishna's sake, not for my sake. That consciousness is called spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Spiritual existence. Now the outcome of materialistic life is suffering and the consequence of spiritual life is joy. When we try to enjoy ourselves, and that means we are putting ourselves in the center. When we try to lead a life putting ourselves in the center, considering our own enjoyment, is materialistic way of life. But when you lead a life considering how to give pleasure to Krishna's senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate, that is called devotional service. That is spiritual life. Lead a life with Krishna in the center. Do jat karosi, jat asnasi, jat juhasi, dadasi, jat jat tapashoshi konteya, tat kurusha madarpana. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we offer in charity, whatever we offer in sacrifice, whatever austerities we perform, all these activities should be performed for Krishna's sake. We should offer those activities to Krishna. Jat karosi, whatever we do. Jat asnasi, whatever we eat. Tat kurusha madarpana, should offer to Krishna. Our actions should be offered to Krishna, meaning for the sake of Krishna. Whatever we eat, whatever we prepare for our eating, we should offer to Krishna. Jat juhasi, whatever, whichever sacrifices we perform, dadasi jat, whatever we give in charity, jat taposhoshi, whatever austerities we perform, tat kurusha madarpana, Krishna says, do them for my sake, offer them to me. So that is how simple it is to transcend the material existence and go to the spiritual platform, spiritual world. Going back to spiritual sky is not difficult. It's only a matter of changing our consciousness. Simply to change our consciousness. That's why Prabhupada used the expression Krishna consciousness. And it's actually a very scientific consideration. Krishna consciousness is not a matter of faith. The other day in the flight I met a gentleman. He is quite an important person. And I was very surprised when I was talking to him about ISKCON. He actually admitted that ISKCON is not following, ISKCON is not religion. It is spiritualism. What ISKCON is pursuing is spiritualism, not religion. And I was saying, a person who is just a layman, he has that understanding. He's quite an, he's a CEO of a big company in Singapore, I mean, which is a American company, and he is taking care of the Singapore, I mean East Asian, Southeast Asian operation. And I was very impressed to hear that. And it just occurred to me that, you know, yes, ISKCON is not pursuing any religion. ISKCON is pursuing spiritualism. And it, that means religion is a faith. Prabhupada himself actually said that. That religion is a consideration of faith. I am a Hindu, I am a Muslim, I am a Christian. It's only they by that they simply say that they are pursuing certain faith. But Krishna consciousness is a science. And it's a science. Why it's a science? What's the definition of science? Science is a systematic study of a subject in one way. Another definition of science is experimentally verified facts. When the facts can be experimentally or through experiences, through experiment, can be verified, that is science. Now Krishna consciousness is a science because it's a science of spiritual reality. Material nature is there, but beyond this material nature there is another nature. And the knowledge about that reality is Krishna consciousness. And now how it can be experimentally verified? In Prabhupada's words, like when Prabhupada went to the MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, I think it can be considered as the most prestigious technological institution. The Institute of Technological Study, Science. When Prabhupada was there, they showed him different departments and spoke to him about the glorifying those departments. Then at the end, what did Prabhupada ask them? Where is the department that studies the difference between a dead body and a living body? It's a very simple consideration. We see a living body functions in an amazing way. Life turns matter into something amazing. Matter is inert. Matter is dead. Dead matter. Now our bodies are made of those dead matter. But does it function in a dead, inert way? It functions in a living way. It's alive. Matter becomes alive. How does it happen? The simple consideration is because of the presence of the soul. I mean, that's about the only thing that we have to accept from an authority, from sadhu, shastra, guru, from scriptures, teachers, and experts on that topic. From these three sources, we will receive these information. That information we have to accept. The initial approach to the subject has to be undertaken with certain degree of faith. For example, when you learn the alphabets, you had to accept it. A is A, B is B. At that time you couldn't question, oh, I don't accept that A is A. Or prove to me that A is A. We are too ignorant even to understand that. Therefore, the initial approach is with certain degree of faith. Yes, A is A, B is B, and so forth. But then, as we grew up and study, and read books, then it becomes verified that A is A and B is B. So, there is a thing called soul, and the presence of the soul makes a dead body alive. Now see how systematic this information is. What are the symptoms of life? the general symptoms of life is classified into six activities. Wherever there is life, there are six symptoms of life. The first symptom of life is birth. The next symptom of life is growth. A baby is born, a tiny little body, but then it grows with time. Then there is changes. His form changes, his activities change. Like in a tree, we see in winter, in autumn, the leaves fall. And then in spring, the new leaves come. And then in summer, the tree is full of flowers. And then in autumn, the tree is full of fruits. So, and then again, all the leaves and fruits, everything falls in autumn as the winter begins. So these changes are there. Then reproduction, it multiplies, it continues. One or two becomes three. Male and female get together and the third living entity appears. Birth of a third, this is multiplication. And then decay, and then death. Wherever there is life, these six symptoms are bound to be there. Whether it's a human being, animal, reptile, bird, insect, tree, plant, amoeba, protozoa. So everywhere we'll find these six symptoms, wherever there is. And what to speak of the intricate operation functions that go on. Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Nam Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Go Premanandi. So in this way we can see how scientific this Krishna consciousness is. Another scientific consideration actually is that from the scriptures, from the sources, bona fide sources, we get the information that there are three kinds of bodies. This is not the only body we have. This is the gross material body. Then beyond this gross body, there is a subtle material body. And beyond that is the spiritual body, the spirit. The gross body dies at some point, but the subtle body doesn't die. The subtle body after death carries the soul to the next body. Subtle body consists of three subtle elements: mind, intelligence and false ego. They don't die. But they change their shape. When somebody acts like an angel, his subtle body takes the shape of an angel's. When someone acts like a pig, his subtle body takes the shape of a pig's subtle body. And then after death, he is placed by my arrangement of Mother Nature, placed into an appropriate womb. And there, in the womb of the mother, he develops the body. And then he comes out to act according to the shape of his subtle body. Now, further information we get there that the way we act, it affects our subtle body. Like we see that the subtle body consists of mind, intelligence and falsity. In simple words, we can say the subtle body is, say, mind. Now, when we act in a certain way, doesn't it affect our mind? Like when you do something good, how do you feel? We feel elated. We feel happy, we feel good. When you do something wrong, although nobody saw us doing it, how do you feel? We feel guilty, we feel heavy. And in this way, all our actions are affecting our subtle body. And accordingly, the subtle body takes its shape. As I mentioned, sometimes, according to our actions, subtle body takes the shape of an angel or a demigod. Or sometimes, due to wrong actions, it takes the shape of an animal. And accordingly, we get our gross body. Now both the bodies, gross body and subtle body, are cause of our bondage in this material nature. Now how to become free from that bondage? Like, in simple words, material nature is a prison house. And we are imprisoned, bound to this material nature through these two bodies, gross body and subtle body. This is causing us our imprisonment. It is not a prison house where there are cells and walls and so forth and we are chained in there. Yes, we are chained in here also. But the thing is, we are not in a kind of a shell where we are imprisoned. The shell is actually where we are imprisoned, is this body. And you know what is the chain with which we all are tied down to this prison house? Well, attachment, desire, true, but what kind of attachment, what kind of desire? Sex desire. Therefore, this material nature is called a prison house of sex desire. Maithun agar. Agar means the prison, and maithun means sex life. Therefore, we are, in a very subtle way, we are tied down to the material nature. Now, the simple consideration is that in order to become free from this material bondage, we have to become free from sex desire. Now, how to become free from sex desire? By developing our attachment to Krishna. Param drishtva nivartante. By getting the higher taste, one gives up the lower. When you develop a loving relationship with Krishna, then automatically the heart becomes free from that desire. To go back to that consideration, the subtle body. The gross body dies, the subtle body doesn't die. Then how does one become free from the bondage of subtle body? What's the technique? The subtle body doesn't die. But the subtle body dissolves. Subtle body can be transformed into spiritual identity. How? When the mind, whose business is to think, thinks about Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. Mind doesn't die, but mind is transformed through the spiritual activity. Intelligence, whose function is to decide what to do and what not to do. Sankalpa and vikalpa. Intelligence actually decides which one to accept and which one to reject. So when the intelligence is engaged in serving Krishna, then the intelligence becomes spiritualized. And in this way, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, then what happens to his false ego? The false ego dissolves and he becomes a servant of Krishna. Jiver Sarup hai Krishna Nityadas. Krishna said, Man mana bhava mad bhakta. With your mind, you simply think of me. With intelligence, what's the Sanskrit word for intelligence? Buddhi. Very good. Teshang shatata yuktanam bhajatang priti purvakam. Dadami, what's the next word? Buddhi yogam tam jena mamupajantite. So this is how buddhi is transformed. Teshang shatata yuktanam. When one becomes constantly engaged in serving Krishna with love and devotion, bhajatang priti purvakam. Krishna says, I give him. Dadami. Dadami means I give him spiritual intelligence, buddhi yogam. So here, in this way, his intelligence is purified. Or spiritualized. And then what is the third factor of subtle elements? False ego. So, when in this way becomes, when one begins to identify himself as a servant of Krishna, that is the end of his false ego. No more false ego. So now what happened? What happened to the subtle body then? Where's the subtle body? Mind is spiritualized, intelligence is spiritualized, false ego is spiritualized. So the identity, the living entity at that time, is a spiritualized entity, pure spirit soul. But he is living in the gross body. Gross body is a gift of nature. And she will decide, Mother Nature will decide when we have to leave this body. We don't really have any control over that. We have to stay in this body as long as she wants. So this body is there, gross body is there, but there is no subtle body. But what is there inside the body? A pure spirit soul. That stage is called Jivan Mukta stage. Although he is living, but he is liberated. Or another expression for that is Swarup Siddhi. The perfection of one's spiritual identity. He is in this gross body, but he is spiritualized. In this respect, Prabhupada actually gave an example. Or made a point that is that body that he is in, is it material or spiritual? Very good. It's spiritual. What example Prabhupada gives about that? Iron and fire. The iron, when it is in contact with fire, when it becomes red hot, as a result of that, it becomes red hot. Then is it iron or fire? Who thinks it's iron? In a discussion, somebody told Prabhupada, Prabhupada is iron. Prabhupada said, touch it. So The point is that although it is apparently material, but it has been spiritualized because of the presence of the pure spirit soul in the body. So in this way, this spiritual activity, engagement in Krishna consciousness, purifies us from our material contamination and situates us in our spiritual identity. Now, is it a science or a faith? Is it limited only to Hindus or Muslims or Christians? It's open to all. It's meant for everybody. That's why this movement is not meant for any particular sect or nationality or religious faith. No consideration of caste and creed. It's meant for everybody. Jiver Sarup Hai, wherever there is a living entity, he has his right to re-establish his lost relationship to the Supreme Personality of God. Now see how wonderful this process is. How wonderful this opportunity is, and how rare this opportunity that we can consider. You know how rare is this opportunity? In the ocean, a log is floating with a hole in it. And a tortoise, you know, a tortoise sticks its neck out once in a while to take some air. Now, what's the possibility of a tortoise, when he sticks his neck out, his neck would go through the hole on the log? Now, our possibility, our achieving Krishna consciousness, the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, is as rare an opportunity as that. So when we get this opportunity, we have to consider that this is an inconceivable stroke of good fortune. It's our inconceivable good fortune that we have got this. We can simply consider, how often does Krishna come to this material nature? Once in a day of Brahma, right? And that is in a duration of a day of Brahma is 4.32 billion years. Is it? Or multiplied by? Yeah, 4.32 billion years. Yeah, 4.32 million multiplied by 1,000. Is 4.32 billion years. In that, Krishna comes, in that Dwapar Yuga, of 26 Chatur Yuga of Vaivarshata Manvantara, the 7th Manvantara, Krishna comes. And in the following Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and gives Krishna consciousness. Dwapar Yuga, Krishna consciousness is not available. Only some very rare personalities got Krishna consciousness. You know how rare those people are? How rare they are? 108 experts of exponents of the Upanishads. The sages who met Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ramchandra was in Dandaka forest. The ladies who became attracted to Ramchandra when Lord Ramchandra was in the Sita's wedding, won the hands of Sita in the assembly of Janak. So these are the few, very few individuals who actually got the opportunity to take part in Krishna's pastimes. But then, after performing these pastimes, Krishna considered that I performed these very rare pastimes of mine. Now, how will anyone ever enter into that pastimes? After performing these pastimes, Krishna considered that. Jatheshtu Bihari Krishna Kare Anuman. Jatheshtu Bihari Krishna Kare Antardhan. Antardhan kori mone kore anuman. After withdrawing his pastimes, Krishna considered that chirokal nahi kori prema bhakti dan, bhakti vina jagoter nahi adhishthan. That this prema bhakti that I displayed in my braja lila, how will anyone ever enter into that? Therefore he decided to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to distribute that Krishna prema. Okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes, but then he withdrew his pastimes. But after his withdrawal of his pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost. The Aposampradayas completely covered over Mahaprabhu's teachings, or completely obscured Mahaprabhu's teaching. Then in order to revive his teaching, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, which was Mahaprabhu's prediction, Mahaprabhu's desire. But finally it was done by his able disciple, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So now consider, to be born in Kali Yuga is a rare good fortune in that respect. But if we were born before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, what would have happened? No chance. Even if you are born after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when Krishna consciousness became obscured by the Sahajiya, then what would have happened? But we have been born after Prabhupada spread Krishna. I mean, we have the access to Krishna. We got the access to Krishna consciousness after Srila Prabhupada came to the West and distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world. Can you imagine? And now you consider, even in today's context, was the population of this world? 6.6. Huh? 6.6. Anyway, it's a big number, a few billion, yeah? 6.6 billion. 6.6 billion. 6.6 billion is the population of the world. And out of them, how many are in ISKCON? Just consider, what's the population of Durban? 5 million. And how many are in Hare Krishna? How many of them are Hare Krishnas? So we can see how rare this opportunity is. And taking advantage of this opportunity, what can happen to us? We can finish off our business and go back to the spiritual sky. And not to the spiritual sky only, because spiritual, big part of the spiritual sky is also Vaikuntha. But beyond Vaikuntha is Vrindavan. So if you go back to spiritual sky, will you settle for Vrindavan, Vaikuntha? Huh? If you end up in Vaikuntha, will you be happy being there? No. Because now that you got the information of Vrindavan, until and unless you reach Vrindavan, you are not going to settle. Or will you compromise for heavenly planets? Lots of fun there. No, a real devotee will never compromise for anything but Vrindavan. So that is the good fortune. And it'll happen. The process is there. If we simply stick to the path, we will reach the goal in course of time. Like when you get into when you board a plane, aren't you sure that you are going to reach your destination? So similarly, when you board ISKCON, you can rest assured of your destination. Just stay in ISKCON. Don't leave. Don't jump overboard. And you'll reach the destination, no doubt about that. 100% guarantee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. So, I was about to ask if any question, but then I realized it's 25 past 9. So, or does anybody have any burning question? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.